Hello and welcome to this edition of the Healing News Network. I am your host, Lillian, and you are listening to Taylor Talks. Today we're going to be talking about coping with emotional and psychological trauma. And I have reached out to a couple of different resources to help me compile a list of things to go over in this podcast series. And one of those is through helpguide.org. It's your trusted guide to mental, emotional, and social health. And one of their articles I found was extremely enlightening and helps to beautifully summarize what it's like to cope and deal with emotional and psychological trauma. And this podcast series today, we're going to talk about dealing with recent or childhood trauma so that you can move on and heal in your life. I work as an NLP practitioner and professional life coach, helping others rebuild their lives after trauma, and abuse. And this work has brought me so much joy personally as I'm on my own healing journey. If you've ever experienced an extremely stressful or disturbing event that has left you feeling helpless and emotionally out of control, then you may have been traumatized. Psychological trauma can often leave you struggling with upsetting emotions and memories and anxiety that won't go away. It can also leave you feeling numb, disconnected, and unable to trust other people. When bad things happen, it can take a while to get over the pain and feel safe again. But with these self-help strategies and support, you can speed up your recovery. Whether that trauma happened years ago or yesterday, your journey to make the healing changes and move on with your life can start right now, today. In this series, we're going to talk about what you can do. We're going to learn about the causes and risk factors for trauma, how you can move frequently in ways that exercise your mind, body, and spirit, how to make connections with others a top priority in your healing journey, learning about and practicing things that help to soothe your nervous system, making choices that will boost your physical health, and learning more by reaching out with others and networking with those who help aid others in their healing journey and process. So let's talk today about what emotional and psychological trauma is. It is actually the result of an extraordinarily stressful event or series of events that has ultimately shattered your sense of security. Oftentimes, these make you feel helpless in a really dangerous world. Traumatic experiences often involve a threat to your life or to safety, but any situation that leaves you feeling overwhelmed and isolated can be traumatic, even if it does not involve physical harm. It's not the objective facts that determine whether or not an event is traumatic, but your subjective emotional experience of that event. The more frightened and helpless you feel, the more likely you are to be traumatized. Emotional and psychological trauma can often be caused by one-time events such as an accident, an injury, natural disaster, or a violent attack. Ongoing relentless stressors such as living in a crime-ridden neighborhood or battling a life-threatening or chronic illness, or commonly overlooked causes such as a surgeries that occur especially in the first 3 years of formative years of our life, the sudden death of someone close, the breakup of a significant relationship, or humiliating or deeply disappointing experience. An event can lead to trauma if it happened unexpectedly, or you were unprepared for it. You felt powerless to prevent it. It happened to you repeatedly. Someone was intentionally cruel to you, or it happened in early childhood. When we're talking about risk factors of traumatic events, it's important to note that traumatic events can happen to absolutely anyone. So there are risk factors that make some of us more likely to experience psychological trauma following a disturbing event. You're more likely to be traumatized if you're already under a heavy stress load, or you've recently suffered a series of losses, or have been traumatized before, especially if the earlier trauma occurred in early childhood. Childhood trauma actually increases the risk of future trauma as we mature into young adults and then later in life into early and midlife crises. Experiencing trauma in childhood can have severe and long-lasting effects. When childhood trauma is not resolved, a sense of fear and helplessness carries over into adulthood, which ultimately sets the stage for further trauma. Childhood trauma can result in anything that disrupts a child's sense of safety, including an unstable or unsafe environment, separation from a parent, abandonment, neglect, serious illness, intrusive medical procedures, sexual, physical, or verbal abuse, domestic violence, bullying, and the symptoms in which we react to that trauma are all different. There is a wide range of physical and emotional reactions. And the important thing to remember when we're talking about trauma is that there is no right or wrong way to think, feel, or respond. So not judging your own actions or reactions of those of yourself or other people is incredibly important. Your responses are normal reactions to abnormal events. And this is something that I have to consistently reiterate in my private practice. Emotional and psychological symptoms of trauma are often shock, denial, disbelief. confusion, difficulty concentrating, anger, irritability, mood swings, anxiety, and fear. The biggest one that I deal with is guilt, shame, and self-blame. Withdrawing from others, feeling sad or hopeless, feeling disconnected or numb. And the physical symptoms of trauma often manifest with insomnia or nightmares, fatigue, being startled easily, difficulty concentrating, racing heartbeat, edginess and agitation, aches and pains, muscle tension, things of that nature. Trauma symptoms typically can last from a few days to a few months, gradually fading as you process this unsettling event. But even when you're feeling better, you may be troubled from time to time by these painful memories or emotions, especially that are in response to triggers, such as an anniversary of the event or something that reminds you of that trauma. That can often manifest differently for everyone. Sometimes people will hear a song that will trigger them, or see an event, or see something happening in front of them, or they'll smell something, or they'll feel something, or someone will move a certain way with their body language, and it can re-trigger that person and bring back up that trauma. The thing that I think most people don't talk about enough is grieving after trauma, because grieving is such a normal process following trauma. Whether or not a traumatic event actually involves a death, a survivor of trauma has to cope with that loss, at least temporarily. It's of their sense of safety. And this is a completely natural reaction to this loss. Grief is for people that have lost a loved one. Trauma survivors also go through their own grieving process. And you're gonna find it easier to cope with if you just turn to others for support and learn to take care of yourself and develop healthy self-care habits and allow yourself to grieve. Some of the tips that I give my clients in trauma recovery is get moving. So when we're talking about trauma, trauma often disrupts your body's natural equilibrium. It freezes you in a state of hyperarousal and in fear. So in essence, your nervous system gets stuck. And as well as burning off adrenaline and releasing endorphins, exercise and movement can actually help you process your nervous system to become unstuck. So one of the suggestions that I often give clients is trying to exercise for 30 minutes or more on most days. Or if it's easier, they can break that down into 3 10-minute spurts of exercise per day. Exercise that is rhythmic and engages both your arms and your legs, such as walking, running, swimming, basketball, or even dancing, whatever works best for you. Instead of focusing your thoughts or distracting yourself while you exercise, really focusing on your body and how it feels as you move. Noticing the sensation of your feet hitting the ground, for example, or the rhythm of your breathing, or the feeling of wind on your skin. Rock climbing, boxing, weight training, or martial arts can make this easier. After all, you need to focus on your body movements during these activities in order to avoid injury. That would also create another trauma. Another tip that I often give my clients is not isolating yourself. Following a trauma, it's very normal for you to want to withdraw from others, but isolation can only make things worse if you do it for extended periods and amounts of time. So connecting with others will help you to heal. Making an effort to maintain your relationships and avoiding spending too much time alone is a good thing. You don't have to necessarily talk about the trauma. I think this is a big misnomer in the trauma community when we're talking about processing and healing trauma, is talking about the trauma till the trauma is talked to death. For some people, talking about the trauma actually triggers them and it can actually cause them to relapse or regress in their healing journey. Connecting with others does not mean that you have to talk about what's happened to you. For some people, it does really make things much worse, and comfort actually comes from the feeling of it being engaged and accepted by others and focusing forward. In coaching, which is very different from therapy, that is what we focus on. We focus on forward movement, forward progress, forward momentum. Whereas with therapy, oftentimes therapists will help you to go back and regress through these traumatic experiences so that you can process them in a safe environment. Asking for support is extremely important. You don't necessarily have to talk about the trauma itself, but it is important that you have somebody that you can share your feelings with, someone who will listen attentively without judging you. This is where you can turn to a trusted family member, a friend, a counselor, a coach, a clergyman, someone that can help you process these feelings. Participating in social activities, even when you don't feel like it. Doing normal, quote unquote, things with other people that have nothing to do with that traumatic experience in and of itself. Keeping the connections or reconnecting with old friends. If you've retreated from relationships that were once really important to you, make the effort to reconnect. And another thing that you could do is join a support group for trauma survivors. Being with others who are also facing the same problems can really help you to reduce your sense of isolation. And you're hearing about how others or learning to cope can also help you inspire you in your own healing journey. Volunteering, as well as helping others, is also a great way to challenge the sense of helplessness that often accompanies trauma. When you remind yourself of your strengths and reclaim your sense of power by helping others, you allow yourself to move forward. One of the other tools that you could use is getting out there and making friends. If you live alone or you live far away from family and friends, it's important to reach out and make new friends. Taking a class or joining a club to meet people with similar interests, connecting to an alumni association, or reaching out to neighbors and work colleagues, rebuilding your support group. If you're finding that connecting with others is difficult, then there are some things that you can do before you just sit down with someone. You could exercise or move, jump up and down. That includes swinging your arms and legs or flailing around. Your head might learn to feel clearer and you'll find it easier to connect with others. Vocal toning. As strange as this sounds, vocal toning is actually a really great way to open up and social engagement. And to vocal tone, you can definitely Google or YouTube it, but essentially you're changing the pitch and volume in your voice until you experience a pleasant vibration in your face. The next part is self-regulating your nervous system. This is an extremely part of the healing process. No matter how agitated, anxious, or out of control you feel, it is important to know that you can change your arousal system and learn to calm yourself. Not only will it help relieve your anxiety, but it will also engender a greater sense of control. Mindful breathing techniques. If you're feeling disoriented, confused, or upset, a quick way to calm yourself is through mindful breathing. Simply taking 60 breaths, focusing your attention on each breath. Sensory input. Do a specific sight, smell, or taste quickly make you feel calm? Or maybe you're petting an animal or listening to music that works quickly to soothe you. Everybody responds to sensory inputs a little bit differently, so it's really important for you to experiment and find out what works best for you. Staying grounded. To feel present and more grounded in that moment, sit on a chair. Feeling your feet on the ground, barefooted, and your back against the chair. Looking around you and picking 6 different objects that have red or blue or green in them, and noticing how your breathing gets deeper and calmer. Pick 5 things that you can see, taste, touch, smell, and feel. Allowing yourself to feel what you feel when you feel it and not repressing your emotions so that you can acknowledge your feelings about the trauma as they arise and accept them is extremely important as well. Taking care of your health. Having a healthy body helps to increase your ability to cope with the stress of trauma. Getting plenty of sleep. After traumatic experiences, we often worry or fear that our sleep is going to be disturbed, and oftentimes our sleep patterns are disturbed, but a lack of quality sleep can actually exacerbate your trauma symptoms and make it harder for you to maintain your emotional balance. Going to sleep and getting up at the same time each day and aiming for 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night can be very beneficial for a person processing their trauma. Avoiding alcohol and drugs. These things can actually worsen your trauma symptoms and increase feelings of depression, anxiety, and isolation. Eating a well-balanced diet. Small, well-balanced meals, wholesome foods throughout the day will help you to not only keep your energy up and minimize blood sugar drops and mood swings, but it will also help you to give your mood a boost. Reducing stress by trying different relaxation techniques. You could do things such as meditation or yoga or deep breathing exercises. Make sure that you schedule in some time for activities that bring you joy and find a favorite hobby to do. The last thing I want to leave you with is when it's time to seek professional help, because recovering from trauma does take time and everybody heals at their own pace. But if months have passed and your symptoms still are not letting up, then you may need professional help from a trauma expert. You want to seek help for your trauma if you're having trouble functioning at home or at work, suffering from severe anxiety, fear, or depression, if you find yourself unable to form close, satisfying relationships. You're experiencing terrifying memories, nightmares, or flashbacks, avoiding more and more things that remind you of the trauma, or you find yourself feeling emotionally numb and disconnected from others, or using drugs or alcohol to make you feel better. While working through the trauma can be a really scary, painful, and potentially re-traumatizing event, so is the healing work. It's best done with the help of an experienced trauma professionalist. Finding the right person can sometimes take time. It's really important that the person you choose has experience treating trauma, but the quality of the relationship with your person that you choose is equally important. Choosing a trauma specialist that you feel comfortable with, that you can open up and communicate to, and that has the background and qualifications necessary to help you process, deal with, grieve, and move forward is extremely important. It's vitally critical to your healing journey. If you're not feeling safe, respected, or understood, it is definitely fine to someone else to help you with this journey. Ask yourself, did you feel comfortable discussing your problems with your trauma coach? Did you feel like your person and coach understood what you were talking about? Were your concerns taken seriously, or were they minimized and dismissed? Were you treated with compassion and respect? And do you believe that you could grow to trust the person that you're working with? What is their qualification and background and their own experience of trauma? In order to heal from psychological and emotional trauma, you need to resolve the unpleasant feelings and memories that you've long avoided. Discharging pent-up, fight or flight energy and learning to regulate those strong emotions as you rebuild your ability to trust other people. Here are some following therapies that are commonly used in the treatment of trauma. Somatic. Somatic therapy focuses on the bodily sensations rather than the thoughts and memories about the traumatic event. By concentrating on what's happening in your body, you can release pent-up trauma energy related speaking through crying, shaking, and other forms of physical release. CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, helps you to process and evaluate your thoughts and your feelings about trauma. And then there's also EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization reprocessing. This incorporates elements of cognitive behavioral therapy with eye movements or other forms of rhythmic left-right simulation that can actually unfreeze traumatic memories. Personally, in my practice, I use a lot of EFT, which is emotional freedom tapping technique, and it works extremely well for those that are open to that. If you have a loved one that's learning to heal and deal with trauma, you can be a very supporting factor and role in their recovery. You can learn to be patient and understanding, and understand that healing from trauma takes time. Being patient with the pace of recovery, and remember that everyone's response to trauma is different. Learning not to judge your loved ones based on your own responses or anyone else's. Don't pressure them into talking about things that have traumatized them. Some trauma survivors find it very difficult to talk about what they've experienced. Not forcing them to open up, but just letting them know that you're there to listen if they want to talk, or available just to hang out even if they don't. Help them to socialize and relax. Help encourage them to participate in physical exercise or seek out friends or pursue hobbies or other activities that bring them pleasure. Taking a fitness class together or setting a regular lunch date can also be very helpful. Most importantly, don't take another person's trauma and their symptoms personally. Your loved one that's dealing with this may become angry or irritable or withdrawn or emotionally distant. This is where it's important to remember that this is a result of the trauma they've experienced and may not have anything to do with you or your relationship. If you are dealing with a child that's learning to recover from trauma, it is extremely important to work with a certified licensed practical counselor or marriage and family therapist, someone who has a specialization in working with children to process trauma. Personally, in my private practice, I do not work with children that have experienced trauma. It's not something that I'm comfortable doing, and I would strongly suggest that you reach out to a licensed mental health professional to help them during these critical times. I'm going to wrap up today's episode there, guys. I hope that you have enjoyed this podcast series. Coming up on the next Taylor Talks, we're going to be talking about Lundy Bancroft's book, Inside the Minds of Angry and Controlling Men. Why does he do that? It is a wonderful tool and resource, especially if you're rebuilding your life after trauma, and abuse. And I look forward to seeing you there then. Thanks so much for joining me. Bye.